And one of the first jobs I had was I was working for my uncle and who built houses. And early on, you know, being the boss's nephew, I would get asked questions like, hey, go get me the left-handed screwdriver or the board stretcher. We cut this one too short. Go get the board stretcher. And yeah, it was fun. But it was a good time. But anyways, good morning, everybody. It feels like it's been a long time since I've been with you. I know I was here last week, but it was Jamonville Sunday, and a couple weeks before that, you know, with Pastor Bud filling in for me with my mother-in-law's passing, and then being able to go on vacation because she had passed. We were able to go celebrate a family wedding together, and so just very thankful for that. Thankful for Bud filling in for me, and but it's great to be back here with you. As we've already said, right, today is Father's Day. And I'm aware that it's not a simple Sunday for everybody in this room. That some of you today came here full of gratitude for a father who was faithful and present in your life. Some of you are carrying a grief over a father who's passed, or a father who was absent. Maybe you're still carrying a wound that hasn't healed fully. Some of you are fathers yourselves, and you feel the weight of that calling every single day. And some of you aren't fathers by name, but have served as father figures to a nephew, or to a student, to a neighbor's child, to someone who just needed you to show up. And wherever you land this morning, I want to speak to you, because the call of fatherhood, the call to raise and to guide and to love the next generation, is not simply a biological designation. It is a profound human and spiritual calling that we have. As there are texts this morning, as we've heard already from Deuteronomy chapter 6, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and upon your gates." You know, God is speaking to a people who are on the move. This is a generation who is about to enter into the promised land. They're about to open a new chapter in their book. And in the middle of all of this transition, God says this: love God deeply and pass that love on to your children. Because faithfulness is not accidental. It is intentional, every day woven into the fabric of ordinary life. And this morning, I want to give you three marks of a father who is walking in grace and purpose. Not a perfect father, right? Because there is only one of those, but a father who is present, who is purposeful, and who is pointing towards something greater than himself. And so the first one is this: that present fathers are paying attention. Present fathers are paying attention. You know, Moses tells this to Israel to talk about the commandments of God. He says, when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you're lying down, and when you get up. Right? What Moses is saying, what we hear, is that this is not a Sunday morning schedule. This is a Tuesday evening, Wednesday before school kind of schedule. The God that God describes fatherhood as something that happens on the margins of everyday life. Now, here's something that I have observed over, you know, a little over 2.5 decades of ministry. The moments that mark children's lives are rarely ever the planned ones. They're not usually the big vacations or the championship games, even the special occasions. They are the small, unrehearsed moments when a father looks up from what he is doing and pays attention. There's a danger in our generation that I think we need to name honestly, that we live in an era of profound distraction. Our phones demand our eyes. Our work follows us home. Our worries fill the silence. A man can be physically present at home while being emotionally a million miles away. His body may be at the dinner table, but his mind is in the office. His children see him every single day, but never feel quite seen by him. And John Wesley was deeply concerned, not just with the Sunday moments of life, but with the rhythms of daily life that are shaped by God's grace. He understood that transformation happens in the ordinary. The Wesleyan conviction is that God's grace is active and present in the midst of ordinary, everyday life, sanctifying us in the very places that we live and move. You know, fathers, what does your child see when they look at you on Tuesday night or on Wednesday morning? Do they see a man that is growing, who is present, who is curious about their lives? Do they sense that they are more important than the screen that is in your hand or the stress that is on your shoulders? Now, I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to invite you, because the grace of God is sufficient to change the pattern every day, even today. You don't need a dramatic gesture. You just need a consistent turning. A turning of your face, of your attention, your heart, towards the people in your home that need you to show up. Presence is a form of love, and it may be the most powerful form. So, point number two is this. Purposeful fathers are passing something on. Purposeful fathers are passing something on. You know, Moses said this. He said, "These commands that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children." Notice the sequence. Notice how this is laid out for us. The commandments must be upon our hearts first, before they can be impressed upon our children. Right? We cannot give what we don't have. You cannot transmit something that you don't own. The person who is being made holy by God naturally begins to create an environment of holiness around them. It leaks out of us, and it gets passed on. Now, here's the sobering truth about fatherhood. That you are always passing something on. The question is what? What are you passing on? Every father leaves an inheritance in this way. Some fathers leave behind an inheritance of faith and courage and tenderness. Some fathers leave behind an inheritance of anger and silence and absence. And some leave a mixture of both, as most of us do. But make no mistake, the inheritance is being built whether you are intentional about it or not. I think one of the phrases that I've heard from so many as I've talked to them and counseled in ministry is this, that I promised myself that I would never be like my father. And then years later, sitting in the office, they hear themselves using the same words, the same tones, and the same patterns. Not because they wanted to, but because what is in us tends to come out of us, especially under pressure, especially with the people we love most. But I need you, I want you to hear the good news today. The gospel says that grace is real. The gospel says that transformation is possible. Because the Holy Spirit is in the business of breaking these generational patterns and writing new ones for us, that you can be the turning point in your family story. You know, one of the classes that I had to take in seminary was, family and generational ministry. And I remember we had to create this family genogram, which is just a fancy way of writing out a family tree, and you can trace certain habits, certain things that go along. And I saw a lot of things as I did that my dad stopped. You know, there were things that occurred in so much of his family that have not occurred in my family. And that was a big part of that was my dad, and really my mom, if I'm being honest. Right behind every good man is an even better woman. But it stopped because they chose to live differently. And so here's my question for every father in this room. What do you want your children to say about you in the next 20 years? Not what you want them to think about you, but what do you want them to say? What have they seen? What they carry? What they receive? And close your eyes for a moment and picture that conversation. And are you living towards that picture? And if not, what do you need to change? So thirdly, purposeful fatherhood is not about that's not the third point. This is just simply expounding on the second point. Purposeful fatherhood is not about having all the answers. It is about living in a direction. It is about letting your children see you as you seek forgiveness. Letting your children see you as you seek God and seek growth. Because they are watching everything. And so let them watch something worth seeing. Now, third point. Third point is this, that pointing fathers direct their children towards something greater. Pointing fathers direct their children towards something greater. Deuteronomy 6 begins with this great declaration, "The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength." This is the Shema, as Jeff has already told us. This is the central confession of the Jewish faith, spoken every day, woven into mornings and evenings, and it is to be placed right before this command to pass faith along to children. And I believe there's a reason for this ordering, because the goal of great fatherhood is not to raise children who need you forever. The goal is to raise children who will know where to anchor their lives when you are no longer in the room. Because being a father is not a destination. Being a father means that we are a compass. A compass doesn't tell us where to go. A compass simply points us towards true north. And sometimes men, right, we confuse the two. There are wonderful men who have poured everything into their children. They have poured time and resources, and energy and love. But without pointing them to God, they have accidentally placed themselves at the center of their child's universe. And one day that child's going to grow up and move away, and they're going to discover that center cannot hold. And it can't hold because you were never meant to be at the center. And so as fathers, we are to point to the one who can stand up. Now we know that because of prevenient grace, God is not waiting for us to introduce him to your child. God is already present. God is already pursuing them. Our job as fathers is to be the invisible, or the visible evidence of the invisible grace of God. We are to live in such a way that when our child thinks about what it looks like to walk with God, they have a reference point. Not a perfect one, but a real one. That means praying with your children, right? Not just for them. It means letting them see you read scripture, not just hear you quote it. It means admitting when you are wrong and showing them what repentance looks like. It means walking through difficult seasons with faith instead of fear and letting our children watch how we do it. One of the most powerful things a father can say to a child is this: I don't have it all figured out, but I trust the one who does. Because we are called to point them to the true north. You know, what we are called to say is that I am not your ultimate anchor, but I will hold your hand as we both reach out to the one who is. I want to close this morning with something I believe with all of my heart. That God does not call fathers to be perfect. He calls them to be faithful. And faithful is something that grace can produce in any willing heart. Every father in this room has regrets. Things that you wish you could have done better. Things you wish you would have handled better. Things you wish, seasons wish you could revisit. To take back those words that came out wrong. We're not perfect. And I'm not here to gloss over it all. I mean, the pain is real. But hear it. That God who calls you can also equip you for it. The Holy Spirit is not a spectator in your parenting. He is an active, patient, powerful partner. And so for the fathers here today, I want you to choose one intentional act this week. One conversation, one apology, one moment of turning your face towards your children and saying, with words or without them, you matter to me. I see you, and I am here. Because that is where faithfulness is built, right? One ordinary Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday at a time. And for those who grew up without a faithful father, I want you to hear this as well, that the ache you carry is real, and God does not dismiss it. But there is a father who has never been absent, who has never been distracted, who has been present in every season of your lives. He is the Lord, and his arms have been open longer than you can ever imagine. And for all of us here as a church, let us commit ourselves to being a community where no child ever grows up without someone to show them what faithful love looks like. I mean, isn't that the vows we make as we baptize children? We say it a little bit different. We say, will we be faithful to live out our faith? Will we be faithful to be their Sunday school leaders and their vacation Bible school leaders? But let's be a church where faithfulness is seen and experienced. That the children who are a part of this church are told, you are important. We need you here because you are the church. We are called to be each other's family. And this is a calling that we all share together today. So let us pray. Gracious God, we are grateful for the families, the fathers that you have placed in our lives. Lord, for those earthly fathers who have loved us and blessed us, God, we are so very thankful for them. We are thankful for the ways that they have shaped our lives, for the ways that they have loved us, for the faith that they have passed on to us. And Lord, if they're here, we give you thanks, and Lord, if they are with you, we are grateful for your promises. And Lord, I do pray that we would be a church where we would all be that father figure that we would make sure that the children, the youth of our church, would see us pointing to true north, would see us pointing to our Savior Jesus and saying, this is what faithfulness looks like. And so on this Father's Day, dear God, we pray that we would renew our commitment to just doing that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for loving us. And it is in your name we pray. Amen. You know, recently we were up in Erie visiting with my mom and dad, and we happened to find ourselves looking through my dad's mom and dad, their funeral books, as we had just gone through this with Carol. And, you know, my father's dad died when my dad was 4. And so largely he grew up without a father figure. But he looks to his older brothers. He was number 8 of 9 children. And so he would talk about my Uncle Chuck, my Uncle Jim, as these men who filled in the role of being a father. Right? Because fatherhood is not just about biology. We, the people of God, are called to point the people who are around us to Jesus. Right? That's the role of the Father. And we're all called to do that. And so let us do that this day. Let's pray. Again, gracious God, we are so very grateful for you. We are grateful for the love and the grace that you bestow upon us. Lord, thank you that you don't expect us or ask us to be perfect fathers. Lord, your grace allows us to fail. Your grace allows us to show our children and the children who are around us what it means to be faithful, what it means to follow, what it means to obey, what it means to trust. God, continue to allow us to do exactly that. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, everybody, and happy Father's Day.